This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year?
Oh, Rory. Always kidding with the media. We're talking about you going back-to-back, McIlroy. Gosh. We're going to have a full episode of Full Swing on this, by the way. And just Sunday. Can't wait.
Probably.
It'll be a two-parter.
It'll be a two-parter.
Days one through three, day four.
Masters 2025, part one.
Love
part
that. That'd be great for them. Content. All the content.
I'm telling you, I listened to a lot of his press conference. I really did enjoy it just because you could see, like, in real time, a guy that, like, had all of the weight just lifted off his shoulders. That's why I mentioned he won't, but like it does feel like he could be told tomorrow he has to retire and be like, okay, mm-hmm. Like, I don't like it, but okay, I can do that. I can live with that. A lot of legacy talk now across sports with Rory McIlroy. As Jeremy put it, he crossed his name off that list. He's got the career Grand Slam. He's won a Masters.
I will say I think it's legacy upgraded.
Yeah, because you know he can add to it.
Yeah, but like it's also, I don't know necessarily if it's like it's defining any more than it is an upgrade now. Mm-hmm. Like he's always been that guy. Like he was always solid, not spectacular. Sometimes he hadn't won a major in a long time, but like he was always solid.
Mm-hmm.
He was always good. This puts it to an elevation, an upgrade.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like we just talked about Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has the Super Bowl win, but his legacy became, should he have more? That's the thing. Your legacy doesn't like cement it. Yeah. You're perfect. Nothing can touch it. LeBron James goes through this like once every week where something is always affecting his legacy.
Well, that's because ESPN cannot stop talking about
cannot move off of him.
They don't know what to do.
But in terms of guys who have not reached the pinnacle, yeah, Rory had won majors, but he'd finally won his Masters. In terms of guys who have not even gotten their sports championship, we were talking about in the break, there's two guys that really come to mind here in hockey.
Which those playoffs will start next week.
Yep. Connor McDavid.
And Austin Matthews.
Two guys we talked about a few months ago with the Four Nations.
And we literally talked about a legacy-defining moment for the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how it shook out. McDavid gets the winner in overtime. Matthews is on the ice.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Matthews has a quality chance within that game himself, and he can't bury it.
Nope. Matthews did have two assists in that game.
So, he did, though.
So it wasn't an empty calorie game.
He was playing really well, actually, mm-hmm. in that game all throughout. You and I watched that game, and we were like, this is awesome.
I love that game. It was so much fun.
It was so good. But we look at this now, though, heading into the playoffs. There's more that has to be done. Now, I talk about legacy upgrade. Well, right now, what is Austin Matthews' legacy in Toronto? Talented player, and he's not able to get past the first round oftentimes.
Yep. Great goal scorer in the regular season.
And then in the playoffs, he's one of those guys that fades. It's him and Marner typically that are looked at as the guys that fade, and Nylander's the one that tries to like carry them through the depths.
Yeah, will them to. I mean, and especially with Matthews in particular, Marner as well, I guess if you want to throw him into this conversation. It's also how poorly they play in round one. The fact that, like, for a while, that was the legacy of, oh, thank God they got past round one. Thank goodness it happened finally.
Yeah. Just 2 years ago, it was, oh, my God, you can't get out of – oh, my God, we actually did it.
Yeah. And then quickly was snuffed out by Florida. But that's how low the expectations had gotten.
And now it's becoming, you're a Hart Trophy winner. You're a three-time Richard winner, Matthews. Get it done. Especially for a franchise that has never won more than two playoff series ever. Did you know that?
Well, I know they're a lot like the Yankees in the sense of they won their trophies before, like, the sport, like, it was modern.
So, ready? They still have never won more than two playoff series.
Boy, oh boy.
So the more things expanded, the worse they got.
Yep.
They haven't been to a Stanley Cup. Not just won one. They have not been to one because that requires you to win a third series.
Mm-hmm.
That is beyond brutal.
Yeah, their last Stanley Cup came in 66-67.
And ready? Their last Eastern Conference Finals appearance is also a big thing to look at here because that's winning more than two playoff series.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, to your point, they have no conference championships. They have no president's trophies.
Yeah, so it is wild. And now, Matthews, you have an opportunity here to change it. And what's going to really make a big deal of this? If you don't do it, Marner's definitely gone.
Yeah, you've been on there for a while. You think that we're
getting to a point. I feel like he's already 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
But now it turns into, if you don't win this, and if you lose in the first round again, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Marner's gone.
They are the currently one seed in the Atlantic. I think that's going to get.
And that's the other part of it, is that it's now going to be amplified. You're facing little brother if everything holds up.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is get like a point against the Buffalo Sabres. Not hard to do.
Apparently. Oh, I do love Toronto versus Ottawa. I love that series. It could be bad, but I kind of like the storyline.
By the way, so the last, when it comes down to it, I looked at it of the last time that they even made the conference finals, 1994.
Okay.
That was the last time that they won two playoff series. Pat Burns was the coach.
And you mentioned it, as the playoffs have expanded, they've done worse.
And it's not even an expansion thing. At this point, it is. You have to win two playoff series just to get to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to win a third playoff series just to get to the Stanley Cup. Toronto has never won more than two playoff series because that expansion is when it happened, and they've never gotten back to the Cup since they last won it.
Been a long
because it requires
drought.
A third series win.
Mm-hmm. Been a long drought. And Matthews is sort of the face of it because we had just gone through this with the goal scoring record with Ovi. I think I saw a tweet that if it weren't for all the games has already missed, he'd be on a higher pop already.
That pissed me off. The hockey news mm-hmm. had said something of like, Austin Matthews is scoring at a higher goals per game average. And it's like, oh my God, nothing, not everything's about you, Toronto. Shut up.
But looking at it now, a few weeks later, that's his own legacy. You're the best goal scorer of your generation, on pace to be. And you've won one playoff series?
Yes. It's not even the fact, like, and you're losing in qualifying rounds even.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something to be said about this core of the Maple Leafs. At first, it was endearing, that first playoff loss to the Washington Capitals, who were the top seed. They scrapped with them for six games.
Mm-hmm.
And for Ovechkin, even, it took him a while.
I was going to make the comparison to Ovi of like, but does it ever become that where the hockey world seemingly was rooting for Ovi? Is the same going to hold true for Toronto and Matthews? Especially if Marner does leave and they have to kind of go through a retool and
refigure it out.
And if you
lose in the first round again, it is to another division rival.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost to Boston. You've lost to Montreal. You've lost to the Lightning. You've lost to the Panthers. This adds another team to it. with this core.
Yeah.
It's another division rival that you're supposed to be better than.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with how Ottawa's played and how they're constructed. You should beat them.
Yeah.
But we all thought that in 2020. Or 2021, I should say. When you were about to face the hapless Montreal Canadiens, who then take a storybook comeback down 3-1 and turn it into a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. And then there's the other side. Connor. We talk about how Lamar Jackson has several MVPs, and he does not have that ring. We talk about how Josh Allen now has that MVP, he does not have that ring. The Edmonton Oilers, with this core, between Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they have 4 already for Hart trophies. Probably going to get a 5th if Draisaitl gets it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5 MVP seasons. Neither of you have won a cup. Because McDavid has 3. Draisaitl won one in 2020. And typically winning a Hart trophy means you're going to at least compete for a cup, let alone win one. Because if you go back, if I go back all the way to 2002, there are only 5 people that have won a Hart trophy that have not won a Stanley Cup. Jose Theodor, Joe Thornton, Henrik Sedin, Carey Price, Taylor Hall.
One on there is not like the others.
One is active still, mm-hmm. And I know that's not what you meant by that. But he also can latch onto a team late and win a cup. But every one of these players outside of that, and Henrik Sedin is like the Philip Rivers of hockey, the Sedin twins.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that were so good that they should have won one. And then they almost did, and they didn't.
2011, right? Boston, yeah.
Yeah. So now you need to make sure for both of these players that you win one, especially for McDavid. The guy that was drafted after you for the quote-unquote Tank Bowl,
mm-hmm.
The great Tank Bowl of 2015, the guy drafted after you beat you. No, not beat you. He won one the year before you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
It is fun to look at, though, with McDavid Draisaitl. And Draisaitl.
Draisaitl, oddly enough, the guy that was taking 2 picks ahead of you and the guy that was taking 1 pick ahead of you, Samson and Samuel,
yeah.
Reinhart and Bennett, they beat you.
They beat you. Looking back at that Stanley Cup final last year, that was a lot of fun. The build up to game 7, the reverse almost sweep of
that would have been amazing.
7. But you look at it now, too, with McDavid specifically. Now that he had won the Four Nations,
you look at
what if he had won Game 7 and where is his legacy at
think
now?
Think about what that postseason was for him, though. He was also on a tear, a generational tear that was threatening to claim the playoffs record.
Yeah, 25 games played, 42 points, 34 assists.
Did he end up breaking that? I think he just fell short.
I believe he just fell short.
And not just fell short there, but he fell short with he couldn't win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried. It was on his back.
He won the Conn Smythe.
He won the Conn Smythe. So now his legacy is being defined in that tough sense.
He did fall short. Gretzky has it with 47 points.
Mm-hmm.
McDavid had 42.
Yeah. And that was because for 2 games he cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
And the team was able to rally around that and still win. Because Florida became hellbent on slowing him down.
Mm-hmm. I think McDavid, though, for me, it's easier for us to talk about Allen and Lamar because one of them is our guy, and the other one, you could argue, has taken an MVP season away from Lamar and vice versa. McDavid, to me, is on a tier of his own. It really has become – he's the best player in hockey, hasn't won a championship. We mentioned Matthews, like, because comparing him to Ovi, they're both the great goal scorers of their generations, but – hockey got around Ovi to go win one. I think a lot of people really wanted to see that. The reason why I really don't think it'll happen for Matthews is because ultimately the better player, and maybe I guess the more the fan favorite in McDavid, hasn't won his either. And he's only made it to one cup final. And I will never forget watching Edmonton with the seconds ticking down on game seven, out of gas.
Yeah.
Just out of gas and almost like mercifully being like, can we end the game like 20 seconds early? Like this is hard
it's
to watch.
It's just not going to end up happening.
It's hard to watch. It's not going to happen. And even if a goal went in to force overtime,
you'd have to then find
they're going
to
get killed. You know, it looked like Florida was just going to get all over them. And then the painful, he gets the Conn Smythe because
and he doesn't go
how
out.
Does he not get it?
Yeah. And he doesn't go out to the ice to go get it, which is the right thing.
Yeah, I understood that. I understood
you
that.
You looked in that locker room and like you get an inside look of that, and it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you want to be there with the guys that you were there
with. Yeah, but you look at some of the players he's compared to, Gretzky and Crosby, because he was sort of the next.
He was the next guy.
He's the next generation guy. Both won multiple cups. Crosby gets it done early. Crosby gets a lot of his stuff done early. The gold medal as well.
Yeah.
Where McDavid,
McDavid's more circumstance.
Oh, and a lot of this all ends up being circumstance of the team you're on and what's going on.
But even the international play circumstance.
Of course, the Olympics and everything going on with pro players not being able to do it. But then also look at the team McDavid is on. He's on the Oilers. Gretzky's team.
Yes.
In an era where a Canadian team hasn't won Canada's sports championship in we're getting close
since
to 30 years.
Since 1993, yeah.
And he's the guy. And he winds up on that team and still hasn't been able to do it. The only way it's better for Canada is if he wound up on Toronto. But even still.
It's more than 30 years, by the way.
It is more than 30 years.
It was 1993.
Yep. So we're over 30 years now that a Canadian team has not won a Stanley Cup. He's the guy. And the closest they got to was a demoralizing Game 7 loss against Florida last year.
And before that, it was the collapse against Boston for Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
as we brought up the Sedin twins just now.
Yep.
And yeah, it was also, all right, it looks like the series is over. Cool, let's pack it up. And no.
And the roar back.
They win Game 5. They win Game 6. Can they do it? Nope.
Nope. And that's where I think the legacy for some of these guys comes up. And you look at it too, like McDavid and Allen have those moments. Allen leaving the field 13 seconds with the lead and ultimately losing it. McDavid puts up a Conn Smythe performance, an all-timer, and loses in Game 7. Where Lamar is a bit different. Lamar has been more, him personally has failed. He's closer to Matthews in that sense, where he has not performed under the brightest lights. But in the regular season, he's been a man amongst boys.
And there have been a few postseasons where, for both Jackson and Austin Matthews in two different sports, they have played well enough to win.
Yep.
And ultimately, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just say it's a concrete slate. But yes, there have been some postseasons for both of them where you didn't do enough. And this is an opportunity immediately for Matthews next week. He has a chance to do something about it. I'm really intrigued to see what happens with both of those players before I now take this dagger in my hand and shove it and twist it into the side here, Zach. Mike Trout is a player that could really use a ring to upgrade his legacy.
Yeah,
because he's looking like one of the best that will never have shown up to the World Series.
He's one of the best to like basically never play in the playoffs.
Yes.
Most of his career has been non-playoffs. I mean, they have the longest drought in MLB right now at 10 seasons. He has one playoff appearance, and I believe it was a wild card, in which he didn't play well, but he was like 23.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the stunning
ever
thing.
Ever since then, he's not even shown up to the playoffs, let alone the dance.
And then along with that, for his legacy's also been affected by injuries. I bring this up a lot. He hasn't played more than 100 games more than once in the last 5 years. Did it one time. I think he played like 120.
As a matter of fact, there was a sickening duo between him and Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
See the now infamous tungsten arm.
Oh yeah, baby.
Tweet, where the two of them would do great things and they would still lose.
Yep.
It does turn into Mike Trout. You might need to leave the Angels just so you have a chance to go chase one. In addition to the fact that, yeah, you might still be one of the best that never even gets there.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity, maybe. When's his contract up, Zach?
I think we've still got like 3-4 years. We got a while.
So he has to be traded.
He's got a while. Well, I mean, they're 9-6. Playing well.
Okay, buddy.
Playing well.
They're already back to closer to 500.
Yeah, they lost their first series of the year to the Astros.
So naive.
Texas got swept by Seattle.
Foolish boy.
The division is still very much not getting run away by in April.
But it's not going to be won by the Angels either.
No, probably not. Probably not. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on this conversation. I do like looking at a lot of these athletes, too, because I think what's fun with this, too, is you very quickly realize it's not just a you problem.
Yeah.
And that's...
Like, we are not alone here in Buffalo at all.
And that's something I always struggle with, too, is discussing, you know, some of these sports and seeing other guys win, and you're like, why can't it be us? And it's like, well, I mean, because, like, for them, that was also a thing. You know, they were going through their own issues. Minnesota sports, in particular...
Oh, my God.
Are ones that are regularly just like, I don't, we're never bad. We're pretty good, but never great, you know?
Very consistently like that.
Across the Timberwolves teams. May be the only team in Minnesota where it's like, oh, they're bad.
But there's another one. Timberwolves.
Kevin Garnett had to go to Boston
to do it. Anthony Edwards has a chance to turn himself into one of the newer young stars of the NBA. He has a chance that he has to go ahead and reach out and take it.
Mm-hmm. Last year, it felt like they were maybe going to do that.
And then they didn't.
And then they fell apart a little bit.
And it turns into another legacy for player, Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And now his legacy gets changed because of the fact that he got traded. Almost erroneously.
I mean, almost.
Okay, actually erroneously.
I was like, I want Nico Harrison to never work in basketball again once he's eventually fired.
Yes. Like, for some reason, he gets traded. That's going to change his legacy now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to pair up with LeBron. Instead of being the guy.
Well, you are the future guy. But that's the thing, too, where like...
If they win it this year, though, for example, it changes his legacy in a negative way.
It's not Luka's ring. Look at Kevin Durant, if we want to go to the NBA.
Oh, yes.
He has to go to a dynasty already to win one. Now,
and even then,
almost everyone... unanimously acknowledges his rings don't mean as much as Kawhi in 2019 with Toronto.
Funny enough.
Giannis with Milwaukee.
Even more funny enough, Durant's first swing with the Warriors ultimately fails.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They set a record for wins, but then they lose the final.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot to it where Luka Doncic, that trade kind of ruins a little bit for him.
But there is also that, like, ring chasing. Or, yeah, like, the circumstances can hurt you as well. Because where I think we brought him up a lot, Aaron Rodgers.
James Harden also.
Harden. But I brought up Rodgers a lot. Rodgers had some of the nasty legacy with Green Bay of failed playoffs. He's a five-time MVP, only made it to one Super Bowl. Yes, he did win it, but that five MVPs changes the conversation. It's always been the combo with Lamar as well. Having two, maybe should have won three. Really? He's never even made the Super Bowl. He's a quarterback. What are we doing here? You like that kind of feeling. What did Rodgers try to do? He tried to go to another team like his compatriots in Brady and in Manning and go win a Super Bowl. Or at least resurrect a dying franchise. Brett Favre did a lot for the Minnesota Vikings to kind of bring them up. They go to an NFC Championship game. Ultimately, Favre throws it away, which... really should be Favre's legacy, but neither here nor there. I mean, the dude threw playoff picks like nobody's
business.
Well,
his legacy's turning into something completely different.
Yeah, state of Mississippi, not loving him, allegedly. But with Rodgers, he goes to the Jets. Why? They're a talented team, but also, well, that's going to help your legacy. You're in New York. You go where Favre couldn't win from Green Bay. You bring a team up, and instead it's a disaster. Blows out his Achilles in game one, four plays in. Not his fault by any means, but it did happen. And the second year, your coach is fired five games in.
Your GM is fired 2 weeks later.
And it's a bunch of your buddies there, and you never even sniff the playoffs.
Not even sniff the playoffs. You're a bottom 10 team.
Yeah, and in the longest drought in the NFL right now, the Jets, that's considered one of the low points is your era.
And not to mention, the longest active drought.
Yeah.
They beat the Sabres by several months.
There we go.
Thank you, Jets.
But there's something to that, too. And bringing it back, like where Rory winning in the fashion he did yesterday played into it. If he would have blown everybody out of the water, it wouldn't have hurt him by any means. But in a way, him winning the way he did was sort of like that's how it should have gone. I like how that worked out. I like how that played out. For Manning, I kind of like that he won in a year where he had to be carried by his defense. after years with the Colts having bad defenses.
Yes.
And he himself playing bad, he finally had a team good enough.
Especially
that
when
he
that
didn't
same
have to be
team.
Superman.
He was Superman for that franchise.
Yeah.
In Denver. And they got shellacked.
They're blown out
in
by Seattle. Yeah. 40-48 or whatever it was.
Yeah. It was, that was one of the weirdest
Super Bowls. And so there's also points to that that have like made the moments bigger than they are. You know, Manning's last game, he's not the Super Bowl MVP. And he arguably wasn't even their best quarterback on the roster.
That's right.
Which is weird because the other guy was Brock Osweiler. And he certainly was not the better quarterback.
He was not a good quarterback.
But how bad Manning was playing, it made the conversation more open. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Talking about legacies, and thanks to Rory McIlroy for that. But speaking of golf, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price, $129, you unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. You can get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
And Paterka getting it back again. Darlene will send it back that way. There's a jam play, scores. Alex Tuck at the near post. Got a stick on that one. And the Sabres, before the first penalty expires, get one on the power play. They'll stay with the man advantage. Now trailing 6-3 with 11:21 to go in the third.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. The game would ultimately end 7-4.
Sabres
lose again. Derek's not happy about it. We do have two more games to wrap up the year, both at home. Toronto tomorrow, Philadelphia on Thursday. Both 7 p.m. puck drops with 6 p.m. pre-games starting right here on WGR.
At least also, I never have to deal with the Sabres on the road again for the rest of the year. Give me peace.
I'll say again. I mean,
for two games.
Yeah. It's season comes.
I meant what I said. The rest of the year.
Before we get started here, do want to let you know, listen to Shelton Bulldog all week for your chance to win 2 lawn tickets to see Breaking Benjamin and 3 Days Grace at Darien Lake Amphitheater on September 7th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at livenation.com. On the other side of things, we are, well, we're closer to 1 week away than 2 weeks away. Very close to the NFL draft. That is going to be next Thursday in Green Bay, and we are getting more and more national reports as well of players visiting the Bills today. I've seen Adam Schefter bring up that South Carolina defensive tackle TJ Sanders is going to visit the Bengals, and then tomorrow with the Bills. And then Ian Rappaport reported that defensive tackle Deion Walker out of Kentucky scheduled to visit the Bills on Tuesday as well.
That's interesting, because I feel like Sanders is a 3-tech.
Now, I will bring up on real quick on Walker, by the way. Ian Rappaport did bring this up. It was discovered at the Combine he was playing in 2024 with a stress fracture in his back. Now fully healthy and ready, Walker aims to show why he was rated as a top defensive tackle before 2024.
Oh, my God. A fracture in your back?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, I will say with Walker, I'm a little worried, but I do wonder if maybe the stress fracture was part of this. Some of his athletic testing was not great. It was more along the lines of, oh, he's just 6'7", 340. He's just a big guy.
Yeah.
But he's not moving very well. I wonder if the stress fractures played into that. That also might be why the Bills are bringing him in.
That probably does. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bills are probably like, hey, we want some questions answered. How's your back, buddy?
Yeah. Now that you're quote-unquote healthy, we're going to run you through some tests.
Instead of shaking their hand, their pre-draft visit test is, all right, we're going to pat you on the back, see how that does.
We're going to see if you win. That's
so
terrible.
Cruel.
That's terrible.
I know that is.
We talked about the player invitations, the top 30 visits a lot last week, mentioning how does it really signal that's where the Bills are going to go. Or the Bills may be more of a team like we just brought up with maybe Walker, where like, we had questions. We want you to come into our building with our medical staff.
The thing
to
is
get
to look for
right.
the trends. How many of a position are they looking at?
Because
That's going to tell you where they're looking, where the ideas are going, where their eyes are gazing
at. That makes it curious because for a while it's been wide receivers. But, wide receiver's been the biggest position so far.
But also look at where those players are projected.
Yep.
That's what I mean by direction. You're looking at players that are, hey, they're probably going to look at a guy in day two.
Round two, maybe if they trade back
round
into round
two
three.
Or round three. They'll find their way to get back into round three to get one of these guys. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. Defensive tackle, Sanders is typically seen as a second rounder kind of player. That kind of helps out with the direction of, well, they feel like they can take a D tackle probably anywhere in this draft.
That's somewhat made me think about Trey Amos being the pick in round one.
Corner out of Ole Miss.
He did, from reports, visit with the Bills or was going to visit with the Bills. I'm not sure if it was a week later report. But that's the position. I everyone knows I'm a big Kenneth Grant guy. Like, that's my dream scenario in round one, or if somehow they can get him in round two, fantastic.
By the way, Benjamin Morrison.
The Notre Dame cornerback as well. And so I do wonder if, when you look at the corners, like you mentioned, guys that where are they projected to go, those guys are late one, early two.
Which screams, hope you're ready for this, everyone. Bills are going to trade down, find a way to move up from four to three, and we're picking early round two.
I think there's a possibility there. There's also the possibility of they just like the defensive tackle depth, edge depth, defensive line, more for rounds two and three, where cornerbacks, and that's my thing too, is they need an immediate starter at cornerback. That's the one position they have not touched in free agency. It feels like we are forever away from maybe a Rasul Douglas reunion. We got Dane Jackson, but that's not really going to do it.
Right.
That's where receiver you could maybe argue was there. But with corner, it feels a lot like the Kyer Elam Christian Benford year, where, especially because of Trey White's injury, I mean, look who ultimately is starting week one against the Rams. It's both rookies. While, yes, they have Benford, so it's not as bad, that's my thing. It's pointing to, I think, cornerback is going to be their round one pick.
And I think it makes sense that it could be. It could be like the wide receivers from last year. We see enough here right now in that late first, early second round.
Yeah.
We're comfortable with the number of players that are on the board. We're going to trade down, picking 35-ish or 36, and we'll be okay. We know that corner's not going to start going on some sort of, like, disgusting run, kind of like wide receivers were the moment that the Bills traded down, another two went. But they were still comfortable with how the board looked. Actually, it was another three that went, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Because Pearsall was in there, too.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was a lot.
But again, the Bills were still very comfortable with, there's still enough players here between Coleman or Ladd McConkie or A.D. Mitchell. Like, there was still a number of receivers there that they were comfortable with what was going on. At corner, it looks like it's going to be the same thing at the end of round one and the start of round two, where there might be enough guys there, especially some that they have pre-draft visits with, that, again, everyone's going to hate me for saying this because I'm going to will it into existence because I keep talking about it. Operation Make a Pick Bills might not happen on Thursday night next week.
I think that, and you've brought it up a lot, but I think that's always been something that's maybe sitting there, especially when we've talked about how much they like the third round pick, how much they like more picks. They do like to move around. It hasn't always worked out. I'm not saying it always has worked out, but they do like to do that. They like to have the ammunition.
They like the manipulation of the board.
Yep.
And it's a conviction. You have your guys, you know where you value. The thing is that they also respect value.
Yeah.
That is the part that I like about them doing that all the time, is they respect value. They know if there's a player in round two they need to go up and get, they need the ammunition to do so, and you go get them. They want some player in round three? Well, you got to make a little bit of draft board manipulation work so that you can get back into round three. I don't know what happens from here, but what I do know is, you and me are going to be sitting in these chairs. So you have to prepare for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Which is, we're sitting here at 12:30 a.m. They're not making a pick. For a second straight year. And I'm just going to make sure I preface this by saying it. And I know this is not popular with everyone. And you can already tell how irritated I am by this. If the Kansas City Chiefs want to pay to move up one spot, you take their pick.
I agree.
It's one spot. They're going to take something you're not anyway.
Yeah.
Again.
I agree. It's just, it is.
No, that person's not destined for success. Can we all stop with that?
No, but to the PR sense, it keeps working in the favor of the Chiefs.
I don't care.
I know.
If they want to move up one space, and I mean, because that's where they're picking.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to move from 31 to 30, any payment is worth it because they're already overpaying for it.
Yeah.
For a player that you don't want.
Now, we do have to hit another timeout here real quick.
Yeah, cannot get on this soapbox again.
But I do want to mention this. There have been reports that no one really wants to trade up. I think the Bills may want to trade back to get more picks, but who is worth going up to get? It's not a loaded wide receiver class, and the quarterbacks, ultimately, if you're Cleveland
That's
and the Giants and the Titans, it is where it is, but we're also finding out teams aren't valuing that fifth-year option maybe as much. Maybe with quarterback, it's different.
Quarterback, it is different, I think. And that's going to depend on where the board falls.
Mm-hmm.
If a team reaches on one like a Jackson Dart, kiss any sort of trade down conversations pretty much out the window.
Yeah. But if we're at pick 30 and Jackson Dart's still on the board, a team like maybe Cleveland goes, we want to have that fifth year option. I don't really think they're moving up with Buffalo. I think
it's Travis Hunter, though, and mm-hmm. Travis Hunter and Jackson Dart. You come away saying, hey, we had a, like the movie, we had a great day.
Oh, what a line read. But to that point, though, I mean, if it's Cleveland, I don't think they're moving up with the Bills. I think that's a move where the Eagles make it. And they just go, yeah, we'll swap one spot. We'll make you overpay for a quarterback and we'll move on. Where with the Bills, it's moving up three spots. It's a bit more to spend. And it's not too much, but last year it happened because the Chiefs wanted a specific wide receiver.
But they weren't
no
the
one
only,
behind you is necessarily.
But Carolina traded up.
Yep.
Also one spot to pick a wide receiver.
To pick a wide receiver. I will grant, though, I think they're a horribly run organization that overthought a lot of things.
Oh, so you think Cleveland's a model organization for this?
No, but I think they are playing more with fire where Carolina maybe wasn't.
Andrew Berry did not get fired for the whole Deshaun Watson thing.
No. No, that's true.
So I rest my case.
We got to take a quick time out here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we'll wrap up the show after we get back. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I can't wait to annoy everyone in less than 2 weeks. Because I'm going to be trade down guy. Not because I want them to, but I'm really thinking it's the time to, like, it's going to be something that they could very well do. I'm more or less embracing it just so that, like, I don't have to feel annoyed when it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the early second round is going to be a boon for talent. And if you could trade down, get yourself, first of all, you're back in that early second round range. That value is there. But then, more importantly, B, you could take one of those two later second round picks and you can move with mm-hmm. ammunition from your trade back. You have extra ammunition and picks that you're not going to use. You use those picks to move up.
I'm not there.
I'm preparing you for the worst.
Yeah,
because again, that's my job as your friend. It's my duty, not my job. I don't get paid for this. But like as your friend, be ready for it. And for all of you, it's a job because I do get paid to say this. Be ready for it because I don't know a lot of you personally.
I'm prepared for
it. Be ready for it and try to take it in the best way possible, which is mm-hmm. you can then become aggressive players in the second round in a deep draft.
Yeah, that is loaded with starter talent at
key
positions.
The idea of it simply for that.
I don't see a lot of teams wanting to trade up. Personally, for the quarterbacks, I think Tennessee goes Cam Ward. At 9, it's Shedeur Sanders to New Orleans.
Buffalo
and then
traded back twice last
dark.
Year in a draft where there were no trade mm-hmm. action, and they were not for quarterbacks.
Sabres Live coming up next after a quick timeout. This is WGR.